And we have a brand new governor this morning. Henry McMaster was sworn in last night as the newest governor of the state of South Carolina, as Nikki Haley was confirmed as the United Nations, the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Actually, she is the ambassador extraordinaire and plenipotentiary. That's the official name for an ambassador. A plenipotentiary means a person who is invested with full power or authority to transact business on behalf of the United States. So congratulations to Governor Nikki Haley. Man, I tell you what a success story that is. Young girl from Barnwell, and now she is the United States ambassador to the UN. Yeah, fantastic. So congratulations to both Henry McMaster and, of course, former Governor Nikki Haley. Now we just got to find out who's going to be our doggone lieutenant governor. Harvey Peeler is, well, yesterday, Hugh Leatherman penned a letter and said, listen, I'm stepping down. I'm not going to be the president pro tem of the Senate here in South Carolina, because that person is going to have to be the lieutenant governor. And I just don't want to be. I don't want to be lieutenant governor of the state of South Carolina. I want to retain all my power and privilege here. I'm not giving up all this power that I have to be no little lieutenant governor. So Leatherman, the most powerful man in the state of South Carolina, arguably, stepping down as the president of the Senate pro tem president. And now it looks like Harvey Peeler is going to be challenging him for the position when it comes back up. So because what would happen is he steps down, somebody else moves in, and I forget the guy that's going to move into the Senate pro tem seat, and then he will become the lieutenant governor. Then they will have to have another election to find out who's going to be the Senate pro tem. And Harvey Peeler is running against Henry McMaster. It's convoluted. I know it's convoluted. But to me, if you take a position in government, then you understand how the system works. If you're Senate pro tem president, then you know that if lieutenant governor's position is vacated, you go into that position. You should take that position. Yeah, remember, you're sworn in to uphold the Constitution of the state. And it doesn't look like Hugh Leatherman really wants to do that, does it? All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Having birthdays today, Alicia Keys, 36 years old today. Etta James was born on this day in 1938. We got 3 days until the year of the rooster. Groundhog's Day will be here in 8 days. 11 days, just 11 days until Super Bowl 51, when the Falcons will take on the New England Patriots to see who will be the Super Bowl LI champions. It was on this day in 1924, the first Winter Olympics games were held over in France. 1945. First Lieutenant Audie Murphy earned the Congressional Medal of Honor for ordering his men to retreat, then jumping into a blazing tank destroyer, holding off Germans single-handedly with a machine gun, and ordering an artillery strike on his own position. He's got had a couple of steel ones on him, didn't he? They only awarded 7 categories of medals for heroism in World War II. Audie won 5 of them. It was on this day in 1947. Al Capone died at the, it was like a prison, not quite, down in Miami, Florida. He was only 48 when he passed away. It was on this day in 1950. John Wayne left his footprints outside Hollywood's Chinese Theater, along with an imprint of his fist, maybe. 1971, Charles Manson and 3 young women followers were convicted in L.A. of the 1969 Tate LaBianca murders. Manson said the murder spree was inspired by secret messages he heard on the Beatles' White Album. And that's what happened on this day in history at 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show. Between now and 10 on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
6:23 minutes past 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Do you know what the Hatch Act is? Basically, it says if you are a government quote-unquote agent, that you will keep your politics off of Facebook and off of Twitter and off the internet, and basically you'll just keep your mouth shut. And if you're on those websites, you will post pictures of kittens and your breakfast and puppy dogs, and that's just about it. Well, there is a senior Secret Service agent out there who should be fired today. Not only should she be fired, she should have her security clearance taken away from her immediately because, in my opinion, she is now a security risk. All right? This agent, Carrie O'Grady, she's the special agent in charge of the Secret Service in the Denver District. She oversees the coordination with Washington-based advance teams for all presidential candidate and presidential trips to the area, including all upcoming or future trips by the president, vice president, or Trump administration officials. So, apparently she does not like Donald Trump. Now, in this position, and I have a very good friend who is a Secret Service, who was a Secret Service agent, recently retired, you put your politics aside and you do what you have to do for the office. So, on her Facebook post, she wrote that she would rather endure jail time than taking a bullet for what she regarded as a disaster for America. Didn't mention Trump by name, but obviously referring to the Trump administration, because who else does a Secret Service take a bullet for? So this woman should be fired. She'd probably go to jail for violating the Hatch Act. And she should have all of her security clearance taken away from her immediately. I can't wait to see how the Trump administration handles this one. It's 6:26 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Brace yourself. You're about to get very popular.
On 1250 WTMA.
One of the things that they've been talking about over the past couple of days is how many people showed up to the inauguration of Donald John Trump as the 45th president of the United States. So CNN comes up and they post this picture on their website and on Facebook and Twitter and all of that about showing these crowds that were very sparse crowds there at the inauguration. What they did not tell you was that the picture that they showed was actually taken about 3 hours before the inauguration speech. And it did show a very sparse crowd. And then they compared that with Obama's inauguration speech, where, you know, of course, they showed that right in the middle of the speech when the place was packed and everything like that. So then they kind of stepped on themselves because they had this thing. It's called, I believe, it's like a megapixel, ultrapixel. It's a very, very high quality photograph that they were really, really proud of. So they, you know, they posted it online. And it's one of these things that you can go in and actually, you know, zoom in and see individual faces in the crowd. So they posted that picture online. And the picture shows Donald Trump's inauguration with the crowd going from basically the Capitol steps all the way back to the Washington Monument. These huge, massive crowds. Now, there may have been fewer people there than at the last Barack Obama inauguration or even the first Barack Obama inauguration. But there's certainly more people there than they were trying to make it look like with their picture. Another fake news story, and this one, I had to giggle this morning because we were talking about that Secret Service agent who said that she would not take a bullet for Trump. Well, again, I think she ought to be fired and relieved of her duties immediately. So there was another Secret Service agent that was walking with Donald Trump during the parade while he was walking to the parade stand. And they said, first thing they did, Huffington Post, they did not say he was a Secret Service agent. All right. They listed him as one of Donald Trump's bodyguards. It's a bodyguard. It's a thug that works for Donald Trump. And then they tried to make it sound like this guy had a fake arm. And he had a fake arm so that he was concealing an automatic machine gun under his coat. So he had to, you know, he's got the fake arm, looks like an arm. His real arm is inside the coat, and it's on a machine gun, right? So that's the way they make it look like. And later on, if you actually read down the story, they basically say, nah, that's not true. But the headline says, Donald Trump bodyguard has a prosthetic arm to hide machine gun. And then you go down and you read the story and they go, nah, that's not true. Here's the video of the guy showing in his arm and he's, you know, he's waving and all that stuff with that arm and talking to other people. The arm's obviously real. So Huffington Post has just added themselves to the, and maybe just confirmed that they are actually a fake news site. Way to go, Huffington Post. Coming up, you know, one of the big talking points about Planned Parenthood has been that they provide neo or prenatal care. Well, if you shut down Planned Parenthood, how are we going to get our prenatal care? How's that going to happen? Well, a group decided to find out exactly what type of prenatal care Planned Parenthood offered. We'll give you the details of what happened with these phone calls coming up next on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
If it's being talked about in Charleston, it's being talked about here. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's about 8 minutes until 7 o'clock on The Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Your Wednesday morning. Glad to have you along with us. 843-556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Now, coming up a little bit later on this morning, I'm going to give you a chance to win yourself tickets to the Lowcountry Oyster Festival. And you want to definitely get a hold of those. They're going to have about 80,000 pounds of oysters. I think you'll be able to find a few there. All right. There has been a lot of talk over the campaign and throughout the, the past year about, oh, Donald Trump's going to shut down Planned Parenthood. And here is what the CEO, who makes $500,000 a year, Cecile Richards, has to say about Planned Parenthood. This was her on the campaign stump. Then we're going to play what happened when a group went undercover to ask about prenatal care.
President who will fight for prenatal care.
Prenatal care. And that is what we want to focus on. That is what is so vital.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood. My name is Heck, nice to see you today.
Hi, I was hoping to make an appointment for prenatal care.
For what type of service?
Prenatal care, pregnancy care.
We don't have prenatal care here. Planned Parenthood offers abortions, so they don't offer prenatal care.
Okay, just abortions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, no, we wouldn't provide any type of prenatal services here at Planned Parenthood.
We're not a prenatal care provider. No, Planned Parenthood does prenatal care.
We don't offer prenatal care at Planned Parenthood. We specialize in abortions. You know, that's what our ultrasounds are for, to see how far along the patient is.
So this group, they gave a call and visited 97 Planned Parenthood facilities that are part of all 41 regional Planned Parenthood affiliates across the United States. They only did this where undercover recording was legal. They did not violate the law in doing this. Now, remember, some states, if you're going to record a phone call, two people, one person has to know that the phone call can be recorded, and you can be that person. All right? So you can't be a third party recording two other people, but if you can record your own phone call. So anyway, 92 out of 97 Planned Parenthood facilities turned away women seeking prenatal care. And the workers admitted to investigators that the name Planned Parenthood was, quote unquote, deceptive and deceiving. One Planned Parenthood worker in Albuquerque, New Mexico, even admitted that the local care net would be a better place for a woman seeking prenatal care. But yet, the United States government, the taxpayers, you and me, pay $500 million a year to Planned Parenthood under the guise of prenatal care, under the ruse, they say, of prenatal care. So, it's, you want to talk about fake news, Planned Parenthood? That's it. Here are your headlines in 60 seconds.
More executive action from President Donald Trump.
The regulatory process in this country has become a tangled up mess.
The movie La La Land is in rare company.
I gotta call back.
The musical is tops with 14 Oscar nominations, including for Best Picture.
The Congressional Budget Office out with its forecast for the U.S. economy.
We expect growth to boost employment, virtually eliminate the remaining slack in the economy, and drop the unemployment rate to 4.4%.
Breaking out cancer where it strikes geographically. New research on that.
Death rates are up 50% in poorer parts of the country, especially those with higher rates of obesity and smoking, while the overall U.S. cancer death rate dropped 20% and the rate for affluent areas dropped by 50%.
The city of Philadelphia has banned employers from asking a job candidate's salary history. Backers say that new law will help close the wage gap between men and women, but the cable giant Comcast, one of the city's largest employers, has threatened a lawsuit.
Aw. All right. I never liked that. I had a friend when I was working up in Columbia, and this guy he used to play for the New York Giants. He was a linebacker for the New York Giants. And he was doing a little sports talk show, and they asked him and they made him fill out an application. You got to fill out an application for corporate. So he fills out the application, and it has, what is your previous salary? And my friend that was conducting the interview walked into my office, and he said, yeah, I asked so-and-so to fill out his previous salaries. I've never seen that many zeros in my life. Yeah, this guy had like a multi-million dollar contract with the New York Giants. And anyway, I thought that was funny. All right, since taking office, President Trump has looked to fulfill a lot of his campaign promises using executive orders, and he might have to get some new ink in that pen before this is over with. I'd like to have one of those. Yeah, anybody ever get a presidential pen? You know, they sign a little thing, and then they give the pen. I'd like to have one of those pens from Donald Trump. Coming up in just a few minutes, going to run down some of the presidential executive orders that were signed by Donald Trump and how they will actually affect us here in the Lowcountry. We'll give you that coming up in just a few minutes. So you want to keep it right here. Don't forget, you can always take us with you online. You can grab that WTMA app and take us anywhere you want to go. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock. All right, Donald Trump has been busy with the pen while he has been the presidente, el presidente of the United States. And let's just give you a couple of the executive orders that he has signed. In order to direct federal agencies to ease the regulatory burdens of Obamacare, that orders agencies to waive, defer, or grant exemptions from or delay the implementation of any provision or requirement of Obamacare that imposes a fiscal burden on any state or a cost, fee, tax, penalty, or regulatory burden on individuals, families, health care providers, health insurance patients, recipients of health care services, purchasers of health insurance, or makers of medical devices, products, or medications. Does this also include, because we had a caller yesterday that he was fined like $300, over $300 last year because he did not have Obamacare. does this eliminate any fines? And I think if it doesn't, it needs to. They need to do away with any fines that Americans have incurred for not having Obamacare since its inception. That needs to be done. There's also an order imposing a hiring fees for some federal government workers as a way to shrink the size of government. This excludes the military. He signed a notice that the U.S. will begin withdrawing from the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal. Trump called the order a great thing for the American worker. There's also an order to reinstate the so-called Mexico City policy. That's a ban on federal funds to international groups that perform abortions or lobby to legalize or promote abortion. I don't even understand why that was a thing. Also, two orders reviving the Keystone XL pipeline and the Dakota Access Pipeline. He also signed three other related orders that would expedite the environmental permitting process for infrastructure projects related to the pipeline, direct the Commerce Department to streamline the manufacturing permitting process, and to give the Commerce Department 180 days to maximize the use of United States steel in the pipeline. Now, that ought to be a good thing for the United States steel industry, wouldn't you think? There's also rumors that he's going to maybe very soon sign some sort of legislation to begin defunding PBS. We don't know if this is going to happen or not. We don't know. But here, let me just tell you a little bit about PBS. Some of these folks out there, and they always want to compare this to some of the highest paid people in the industry, right? Who is it? Nancy Gross? She is Fresh Air as executive producer. She earned $245,000 over back in 2008. Ira Glass is the host of American Life. He earns $170,000 a year. Meanwhile, the host of Morning Edition, Renee Montagne and Steve Inskeep, receive compensation of $405,000 and $356,000, respectively. All things considered, anchor Robert Siegel, who is horrible. Oh, I yell. Because sometimes I'll tune over and listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I mean, that's fine. That's pretty funny. But Robert Siegel, who hosts All Things Considered, I yell at the radio. He's awful. He earns $358,653. Weekend Edition Saturday host Scott Simon hosts over $300,000 a year. Now, I want to know exactly how much money these programs cost, because I will guarantee you it is exorbitant. I couldn't imagine, because every little affiliate has to pay to carry these shows, right? Every little affiliate does. I want to know how much it costs. There needs to be so a lot more transparency with NPR than there is right now. Well, Rush Limbaugh makes $38 million a year. Yeah, well, Rush Limbaugh is bringing in a heck of a lot of advertising revenue. I want to know how much money all of these anchors are making and how they can justify that. And plus, and one of my biggest problems with NPR is Sesame Street. And you can sit there and argue all you want to about, you know, whether or not Sesame Street's a good thing. I don't really have a problem with Sesame Street until you start getting into the marketing aspect of it. To me, Sesame Street is nothing but a giant commercial for Muppets toys. I mean, take a look at how much money they bring in off selling Big Birds and Elmos and Cookie Monsters. How much money do these people make because they're on television?
Well, it's a good thing they're not on PBS anymore. They moved to HBO, so we don't have that to deal with.
Sesame Street's over there on HBO?
Yep.
Well, how the heck are people going to get that? You got to pay for that, right? So that's no longer public broadcasting. So look at that silly little train show. Was it Thomas the Tank Engine or whatever his name is? How many of those are sold at Toys R Us every year? So I just don't like these shows that are basically giant commercials for the toys, and then we have to pay for the shows. There you go. All right, 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
More stimulating talk from Charlie James coming up. It's the TMA Morning Show on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 23 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com from Senator Hugh Leatherman's office. Senator Hugh Leatherman submitted his resignation. This was yesterday. He submitted his resignation today as president pro tempore of the South Carolina Senate, effective immediately. The state Supreme Court clarified any questions on the line of succession, and as I have stated before, I have no desire to seek statewide office, and I will remain in the Senate, Senator Leatherman said. An election for president pro tempore will be held when the Senate returns to full session, and the senator elected to that position will then succeed to the lieutenant governor's post. So, doing a little sidestep there, Hugh Leatherman. So, I hope he doesn't win it back. Just for some reason, this just irritates me no end. It really does. I mean, this guy's got all the power in the world. He's 85 years old. Got all the power in the world, the most powerful man in the state of South Carolina, and he doesn't want to fulfill his duties and obligations of his office as president pro tem of the Senate. So to me, you know, you don't want to do your duty. Sorry, sir, but that's part of the job description. But he wants to step aside that. Well, anyway, Henry McMaster is the new president, or the new president of South. He's the president of South Carolina. He's the new governor of South Carolina. Nikki Haley is now officially the United States ambassador to the United Nations. Congratulations to her. More on this coming up in just a few minutes on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
I agree with you 100%.
On 1250 WTMA.
Morning, it's 19 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's go to the phones right now and talk with Robert Berra from the Post and Courier and our Post and Courier report. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. I'm great.
All right. Maybank Highway. Looks like they're going to be getting a little bit of relief there with the westbound lane.
Yes, County Council voted last night on a contract for about $7 million to add an additional lane there, and that will address, at least in the short term, one of Johns Island and one of our whole area's worst traffic backups.
Right.
So at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, that can definitely be a pain. So what are they expecting this to do? Is this going to alleviate some of that traffic, hopefully?
Yeah, exactly. The problem, the choke point, is you've got two lanes going over from James Island onto the bridge. But as the bridge empties onto Johns Island, it funnels down to one lane. And so the backup is on the bridge for forever. A lot of people get in the left lane real early because that's the ultimate one you need to get in.
Right.
Others whiz around them on the right and get it. Anyway, it can add literally, you know, a half hour to your drive home. So they're going to basically keep that two lanes going all the way from the bridge to River Road.
Okay.
And then it'll back up there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. We're just going to change where it backs up. That's perfect. All right. You know, there's been a lot of talk about affordable housing in Charleston. What's going on with 180 Place?
Yeah, there's a real interesting initiative that's in offering, and it's still in the early stages. But 180 Place, as you know, began its crisis ministries right there on Meeting Street in an old grocery store warehouse. Well, when they built their new nice shelter on Walnut Street, immediately behind that property, they emptied that out and now have it. So they're now looking to redevelop that old warehouse, tear it down, and replace it with an 80-story building that would be mixed use with offices on the ground floor and 80 to 100 affordable apartments up top.
Now, we're talking about an 80-foot building?
80-foot, yeah.
80-foot building.
About eight stories.
And how does that work out with zoning? I mean, I thought we had a height limit.
Well, we do. But the height, the most height that's allowed in the city in general is up on King and Meeting Street. Mm. And especially as you get north of Line Street, there are actually several several projects and developments in the works already in various stages of construction or approval for buildings that tall or even taller. I think there's a 100-foot hotel that's been green-lighted for just across Meeting Street, about a block up near
right. All right. So,
but you know, the interesting thing is these apartments will be essentially geared toward or marketed toward people who can't find housing on the, in the regular market, and then maybe not even through the Charleston Housing Authority. So these are really it's sort of targeting a group of folks who are almost borderline homeless, who might otherwise not have a place to call their own.
All right. Speaking of downtown Charleston, they're going to move the old Hughes Lumber Building 30 feet.
Yes.
To make way for apartments and commercial space and a parking garage.
Yes, that's it. I mean, that's in a way, this shows sort of the Charleston's preservation ethic at work, because this is not a remarkably historic building by any stretch of the means, mm-hmm. either architecturally, or George Washington didn't sleep there. Huh?
Right, yeah.
but the city was not willing to sacrifice it, even though it did need to be moved or torn down, really, to make efficient use of that large former Hughes property there. So they're required it that it be saved, and fortunately there was a open parking lot just next door.
So who's going to pay to pick this building up and move it?
Well, that would be the developer's expense.
Okay.
They essentially would be, the city's not got any money in this. This is essentially part of the cost of doing business downtown, is if you have a historic structure on your property, even if it's a small, not very historic structure on a very big property. You still need to address it and take care of it.
It just kind of baffled me that they would move on this, but here's Sergeant Jasper sitting over there going, "Hey, what about me? What are you going to do about me?"
I know, and it's more than 50 years old too. So some could argue that it's historic, but it's going to come down probably this summer.
So it'd be interesting if somebody decided to make that a historic building.
Yeah.
You can't take it down.
I think if you picked up Sergeant Jasper and moved it 30 feet down Broad Street, I don't think that would satisfy many people.
I don't think they'd be very happy about that. All right, Robert, we appreciate it, buddy. We will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Take care.
You too. Robert Barra with the Post and Courier, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. It's the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
You're getting vertical with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show on the Big Talker. 1250 WTMA.
Got about 6.5 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. You know, we had the Women's March on Washington this past weekend. Of course, we had it here in Charleston and everywhere all over the country. The women got together and mistakenly thought they were fighting for unity when actually they were just fighting for liberalism and protesting Donald Trump. Well, here's a lady that I would certainly follow in a march, Kellyanne Conway. Now, what they forget, I was in a conversation with a family member who has a PhD in history and is a college professor. And I was asking her, I said, listen, what about Kellyanne Conway? I mean, this was the first woman that ran a successful presidential campaign. Well, I mean, why aren't you celebrating her? And she was like, oh, no, she's a traitor to the cause. The cause is what she's a traitor to. And I thought, oh, okay, well, there you go. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, whenever there's a successful woman who is also a conservative, then they're not really women, right? Now, Bruce Jenner can be a woman and all of that, but you know, if you're a conservative, which I think Bruce is a little bit of a conservative, when you're a conservative, then all of a sudden you're a traitor to the cause. If you're a conservative African-American, you know, you're a sellout. You're not really black. You're an Uncle Tom and yada, yada, yada. And they refuse to celebrate people who simply have a different political point of view than them. I mean, Kellyanne Conway should have been able to speak at the Women's March. It should have been invited. Of course, she had other things to do, I'm sure. However, Kellyanne Conway, the night of the inauguration, and this is just, it's beautiful. There was a guy there named Charlie Gasparino. He's a senior correspondent with Fox Business Network. And he was there with Scott Baio, all right? And when they got to one of the inauguration balls, they were accosted by an anti-Trump protester. So Gasparino and Scott Baio exchanged some words. And then when they got into the hall there, apparently there was a couple of guys in tuxedos that were having a bit of a fight. And this is what Charles Gasparino said on his Twitter page. He says, part two, I think it was Facebook, this is more than 140 characters. Part two was even more insane. Inside the ball, we see a fight between two guys in tuxes. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, came Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway, who began throwing some mean punches at one of the guys. Whole thing lasted a few minutes. No one was hurt except maybe the dude she smacked down. Now I know why Trump hired her. By the way, I exaggerated none of this. So Kellyanne Conway not having any of your mess. Guys, she gets in there and she starts throwing punches. I love that. What a great story. Good for Kellyanne Conway. She ain't playing with your stuff. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to replay that audio that I had for you earlier this morning when a group started to call around to some of the Planned Parenthoods around the country, because one of the big talking points about Planned Parenthoods and Cecil Richards is that they offer prenatal care. And apparently, that's not so much the case. So we'll have that for you coming up in just a little bit. Also, Donald Trump has signed an executive order that basically puts a freeze on new federal hiring and federal spending, except for the military, as far as payment is concerned. And that does affect some people here in the Low Country, because, you know, we got a lot of federal workers here in the Low Country and a lot of government contractors. So some of these hiring freezes definitely affect some of them. So we'll run some of that down for you coming up in just a few minutes. But I guess the big news here in South Carolina is that we now have a new governor. Henry McMaster was sworn in last night as the state's new governor. Nikki Haley resigned yesterday to become the United Nations ambassador. And, of course, that automatically made Henry McMaster the new governor. He was sworn in last night, just minutes after her U.S. Senate confirmation. And that video of her watching the confirmation hearings last night, that was very nice, very, very nice. And she tweeted a picture of her flying out of, I guess she didn't waste time. They confirmed her. She jumped on a plane and headed to Washington, D.C. Of course, she will be in New York City, where she'll have a nice little high-rise apartment. But we'll tell you a little bit more about her duties as UN ambassador coming up on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Don't you love it when the left gets a taste of their own medicine? Don't you just love it? I do. Well, you know, we had the Women's March on Washington on Saturday, and of course we had it here and up in Columbia and over in Greenville and things like and places like that, really all over the country. And there are some people who were very, very upset with the Women's March on Washington. They were not happy at all about it. And I'm not talking about you and me and men and conservatives. What? I'm not talking about that. The people that are the most upset about the March on Washington, can you guess? Anybody want to guess who the group is that's all, yeah, you're right, transgender activists. They are very upset. They are, in fact, infuriated. I perceive a conniption fit coming on. They were infuriated that the Women's March on Washington featured too many white cis women. Now, cisgender is a term for basically the gender you're born with. So you're born a female, you're a female. You're born a male, you're a male. That's cisgender. That's naturally what you are born. Many transgender advocates said that the march was not inclusive towards transgender women. Some transgender women were bothered by the march's emphasis on vaginas and the color pink. They were upset about it. One said, I believe there's a lot of inequality. There's inequality. Oh, I love it. I love it when the left gets a taste of their own medicine. I believe that a lot of, it was probably more like this. I believe that there's a lot of inequality that has to do with genitals. And that's not something you can separate from the feminist movement. That according to a transgender woman. But I feel like I've tried to get involved in feminism and there's always been a blockade there for trans women. Oh boy, that's hilarious. Now, some activists said that the women who were carrying signs referring to President Donald Trump's grab my, you know what, comments were hurtful to transgendered women. As well as the as well as some other posters that were, I will not mention here on the radio, they only served to reinforce the idea that having a female sexual organ is essential to womanhood. Really? Okay. I don't know. I don't get it. So if you have an issue with women having women's organs, is that a problem? You're not reading. Okay. Well, there you go. All right. One said, it saddens me to see the inclusive liberal feminism I grew up with reduced to a grab bag of competing victimhood narratives and rival community-based but essentially individualist identities jostling for the most oppressed status. Where do they come up with this language that they're using? I'm going to the feminist march. I need to consult my dictionary and thesaurus to find out what words, what key phrases I need to be using. Now, some women who were angered over some of Trump's comments found themselves cut out from participating in the women's march, such as pro-life feminist groups. They were uninvited for their anti-abortion stance. Though data from the Pew Research Center said that 40% of women in America feel like abortion should be illegal in some instances, or even all instances. With as far as some women are concerned, they say the organizers were not inclusive and sought only to include women who share their economic, cultural, and social policy views. Boy, they love to use their $10 words, don't they? They love that. So the left is now getting a taste of their own medicine. You didn't invite enough. You didn't highlight enough transgender women in your march, so therefore now we're mad at you. And they're mad that they were using female sexual organs to represent the march. Oh, what a world, what a world, what a world. It's 16 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
A Fox News host claims he saw Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway get into a fist fight at one of the inaugural balls. Yes! However, today it was explained to him that that's just how Irish people dance.
All right, that's Conan O'Brien talking about Kellyanne Conway, who apparently got into a bit of a brawl at one of the inaugural galas the other night. I think it's pretty awesome because there was a Fox News correspondent, Fox Business News correspondent, who was there with Scott Baio, and apparently some guy started mouthing off. And a fight broke out once they got inside, and Kellyanne Conway decides she's going to get involved. And, yeah, that's right. That's exactly. I tell you what, these women on the right are tough. You guys don't need to be messing with those folks. Definitely. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Let's go west of the Ashley and talk to John. Good morning, John. How are you?
Charlie, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Fantastic on a Wednesday. How about you?
Oh, I'm loving life, brother.
Listen, yeah.
Have you seen that video yet of the – remember when Hillary brought that video out about kids sitting in front of their TV set watching, you know, Donald Trump make all this noise about grab this, you know, do this?
And yeah. That?
Well, someone has made a video of that same advertisement, only they reversed it.
Yeah.
They got Hillary out there saying, when they go high, when they go low, we go high. And then it has all these little kids listening to all these women speak. I don't know if you saw that yet.
No, I haven't seen that yet. I want to check that out, though.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. You talk about freaking hypocrites.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what else to say anymore.
I know. It's difficult to keep up. You need a playbook. John, if you would, if you have a link to that video, email it to me, charlie@wtma.com. It's just that simple to do, charlie@wtma.com. We're now hearing that Donald Trump could be signing some sort of legislation today to start construction on the wall. Now, everybody was saying, he's not going to listen. He's not going to build a wall. Don't worry about it. He won't build a wall. It's not going to happen. It may be happening today. We'll find out. One of the things he did sign was about a federal hiring freeze, and he signed that on Monday morning, but the White House had not yet released a text as of 6 o'clock the other night. Trump said he affixed his signature to the, and the military is exempt. Here in Charleston, the Charleston Metro Chamber of Commerce reports about 11,000 federal jobs here in the Lowcountry out of roughly 350,000 total jobs in the Tri-County area. SPAWAR is one of the biggest federal employers in the region, along with Joint Base Charleston. SPAWAR reports it has about 2,656 civilian workers, and that could be affecting us, that pay freeze, the hiring freeze, could affect us here in the Lowcountry. So we'll find out. Senator Tim Scott put out a statement praising the order on Monday, saying that President Trump took a strong step forward in reining in the size of federal government by instituting a hiring freeze. This will allow for a full assessment of thousands of open positions that draw funding but are often never filled. As we look for solutions to bring some fiscal sanity back to Washington, a federal hiring freeze will help us accomplish that goal. I totally agree with that. Let's go to North Charleston and talk to Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good. The weather yesterday was so beautiful. We're painting a four-story house on Rivertown. Loving the weather.
Very nice.
I want to tell you, my crew and I are so excited when we're done with work to get home at 6 o'clock and see what Donald Trump has done for our nation. Never have I seen a president move so quickly.
Yeah.
That we're so excited for all the good things he's restoring to our nation.
Oh, I am too. I mean, it's like every single, this guy has been busy. Like I said, his pen's going to run out of ink pretty soon.
I love it. We're really glad. We're looking forward to seeing those Ten Commandments, though, coming back on all our national monuments. And if there's any discrepancy that, no, that's not okay, well, just go listen to any of those John Barton tapes.
Yeah.
And you'll hear the difference. So we're real thrilled. And thank you, Donald Trump. And thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate you calling in. I tell you what, you are going to see, and you can already feel it, but you've got to wade through the garbage that the mainstream media is putting out, because all they want to do is, look at silly old Donald Trump talking about the size of the crowds. They're trying to say, hey, look over here. Don't pay attention to all the good things that Donald Trump has already done. I mean, what? This is his first full 3 days in office? Don't pay attention to that. You listen to our talking points. Mainstream media. Gotta love them. 29 minutes past 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
We have breaking news this morning. Kylie Jenner has cut her hair. She said, "I had to cut off all my hair today," and Instagrammed damaged roots. This has been breaking news. We'll keep you updated if there's any further hair damage.
We'll let you know. We'll keep you updated on that. That's pretty much the mainstream media for you right there. They want to make sure that you are completely distracted from what is going on in this country with pablum like that. Donald Trump, it looks like President Donald Trump is going to be looking at an executive order today and really over the next couple of days as far as immigration is concerned. And we're talking about building the wall here. It looks like he is expected to sign executive orders starting today aimed at securing the U.S. border and cracking down on people who are in the United States illegally and temporarily banning most quote-unquote refugees. This is according to two top congressional aides. Now, some of the actions are plans for hiring 5,000 more U.S. border agents and a call for local law enforcement to work with federal immigration authorities. Trump is also expected to cut the refugee cap in half for the fiscal year down to 50,000, they're saying. So, looks like it's going to be making plans to actually start plans for building that wall. Of course, he ran on that. That was one of his big, you know, you go to the rallies and everybody was yelling, "Build that wall, build that wall." And it looks like he's certainly going to do his best to fulfill that campaign promise. But this lady, man, I'll tell you what, this, I don't know if you've seen this Secret Service agent who is saying that she will not take a bullet for Donald Trump. Have you seen this? It's unbelievable. Really is. Now, you are a Secret Service agent and your job is to protect the United the President of the United States of America or whoever is assigned to your detail. All right? This woman is Carrie O'Grady. She is the special agent in charge, basically over in the Denver area. And she is saying, Hatch Act be damned. I'm with her. She tweeted this. She said, "But this world has changed and I have changed. And I would take jail time over a bullet or an endorsement for what I believe to be a disaster for this country and the strong, amazing women and minorities who reside here." That is Kelly O'Grady, special agent in charge of the agency's Denver region. She also went on to say, "Hatch Act be damned. I am with her." And this is the woman who basically, when the president travels to Denver or wherever that her region is, she is charged with protecting the President of the United States. She should be fired today. She should have her security clearance stripped. Turn in your handgun. Turn in your badge. Have a nice day. We wish you well in your future endeavors. I believe that she is now, when she tweeted that, she took it down. When she tweeted that, she became a security risk. So if you were the president of the United States and say you're going to Denver and the special agent in charge of the Denver zone tweeted something like this, would you feel really safe with that agent there with you? Would you feel safe? No. The president of the United States has to have full faith in the agents that are there to protect him. And now you've got one standing up saying that that she won't do it. She'd rather go to jail. The Secret Service told news organizations that they were aware of the postings. We're aware of the postings, and we're looking into the matter. Now, They also say it's unclear whether the Secret Service explicitly bans agents and other employees from engaging in political speech on social media or has written rules prohibiting it. I think the Hatch Act pretty much covers that. And it certainly makes the president more vulnerable. So O'Grady posted this back in October saying that she was supporting Hillary Clinton. So we should go ahead and relieve her of her duties, I think. If I were the president of the United States and I saw that happen on Facebook, I would have, let me just write a quick letter here. Dear Carrie, you're fired. Yeah, that's what he should have done right there. So that should be the first person that he fired, Carrie O'Grady. No longer Secret Service. I think it's funny that I told you before, I got a good friend just retired from the Secret Service, and she's got these little miniature flashlights. You know the ones that go on your keychain? Little flashlight, fob thing, little flashlight. And it says United States Secret Service, and they hand them out. The Secret Service agents hand those things out, and I thought, well, so much for the whole secret part. I'm a Secret Service agent. Here, have a flashlight. Enjoy yourself. So, yeah, she should definitely be fired. Ah, the left. The left, they're a fun group of people, folks. A fun group of people. But I hope they keep it up. I absolutely hope they keep it up, because like I said yesterday, it's going to ensure a Republican win in 2 years. It's going to ensure a Republican win in 4 years when Donald Trump, as he has alluded to, is going to be rerunning for president of the United States. So way to go, Carrie O'Grady, hopefully former special agent in charge of the Secret Service in Denver. It's 13 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA. Let's go to North Charleston and talk to Michael. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
I've got a quick joke for you, and you're probably going to laugh your.
All right.
Well, why weren't there any Democrats in the Flintstones?
I don't know.
Because it was still in the swamp. Why were there no Democrats in the Jetsons?
Why is that?
Future's looking brighter.
There you go. There you go. You're right. You're right about that.
Hopefully all this, so it's like, you know, once the sheetrock and everything's pulled off the walls, you can really see what the government's like.
Yeah.
All the problems it has. And, I mean, the biggest thing I think is, you know, they don't even know how many people they're paying.
And, you know, you're right about that. They don't know how many people they're paying. They have no clue right now how many people are on the payroll. Michael, I appreciate you calling in. I mean, there's so many jobs out there, like they're saying, you know, we're going to put a federal hiring freeze. Ah, help, help. They're oppressing us. Help. There's something wrong. This man doesn't want to. Listen, there are jobs out there that have been unfilled for years that we've been doing without quite well. So I don't really have a problem with a federal hiring freeze right now with the Trump administration. Doesn't that sound good? Keith is out in Hanahan. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Morning, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean to change the subject, but
no,
I had to call in and have a little celebration of there ever was a case of killing two birds with one stone. You just saw it happen in South Carolina.
And, of course, you're talking about Governor Nikki Haley becoming the ambassador to the United Nations, right?
That's getting rid of her and also getting rid of Leatherman at the same time. I mean, the only thing that would make it better is if Trump could find some appointment for Lindsey Graham that he could send him away.
But I don't think Leatherman's going away. I don't think Leatherman's going away. He stepped down as the president pro tem of the Senate so that he wouldn't have to be lieutenant governor. The only real hope would be for Harvey Peeler to gather enough support to win that position away from him.
Well, all I can say is maybe I'm going to run for lieutenant governor one day. If nobody wants the job, I'll go ahead and take it.
Go ahead and step up. Keith, I appreciate you calling in. And here's the thing, though. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I don't know. Do you have to be a member of the Senate or the House to be lieutenant governor? Could you just run for it? I think you'd just run for it. I don't know if I would want that job. It doesn't pay all that well. really, that would be a downgrade in salary for me. So I certainly don't want to take any steps backward. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Certain things you don't say. There are certain things you don't say. And I think Chuck Schumer found that out on the Senate floor yesterday. Now, the Democrats agreed to allow the Senate to hold a vote on Donald Trump's CIA nominee, Mike Pompeo. This was a couple days ago. And then the Democrats, or this was yesterday, then the Democrats backed out of that agreement, right? And by Democrats, I mean one Democrat, Chuck Schumer. So Monday, Republican Senator Scott Tom Cotton confronted Schumer on the Senate floor. And here's basically how the exchange went. Senator Cotton approached Schumer and said, "Hey, you promised you were going to hold this vote and you didn't do it." And then Schumer said, "Well, where were you 8 years ago when we were trying to get through all of President Obama's nominees?" Then, oh yeah, it happened. It happened. Tom Cotton dropped a bomb on Chuck Schumer. He said, "8 years ago, I was getting my butt shot at in Afghanistan. So don't talk to me about where I was 8 years ago." Way to go, Chuck Schumer, uncle of Amy Schumer, unfunny comedian. I love it. I love it. I love it when bombs are dropped. Figurative bombs are dropped on the Democrats. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Of course, I mean, it's a new day. Let's see what kind of executive orders that Donald Trump signs today. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about some of his cabinet picks and where they stand on the whole global warming issue. All right, so we're going to have that coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking with Tom Harris. He is going to be calling in. He is a climate change expert, and we're going to be talking about some of Donald Trump's nominees as far as their stand on global warming. We will have that for you coming up in just a little bit, so you guys need to keep it right here. Tell you what I'm going to do right now. I've got a pair of tickets to give away to the Low Country Oyster Festival, and you can win them right now by picking up the phone and giving me a call at 843-556-1250. That's 843-556-1250. Pair of tickets to the Low Country Oyster Festival. It's a fantastic event. 80,000 pounds of oysters are going to be available to you. You don't have to buy all 80,000 pounds. You can just get, you know, a dozen. I think that might suit you. So I'm going to take caller number 5 right now, 556-1250. You'll win tickets to the Low Country Oyster Festival with your friends at 1250 WTMA. Good morning.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.
We've been seeing a lot of appointment nominees for the Donald Trump administration. And, of course, while they're being grilled there before the Senate, of course, they're always going to ask about climate change. So where do some of these folks really stand on climate change? With us right now, we've got Tom Harris. He's the executive director of the International Client Science Coalition. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How are you, Charles?
I'm doing fantastic. All right, where do some of these nominees stand on climate change? Folks like Rex Tillerson or Rick Perry?
Yeah, well, there are four major portfolios that are concerning climate change. It would be energy, which is with Rick Perry. It's the EPA with Scott Pruitt. It's Scott Tillerson with State Department. And it's also Ryan Zinke with Interior. Mm-hmm. And happily, they're all saying about the same thing. They're saying now, in the hearings, they're saying that, sure, humans contribute to climate change, but the extent to which we contribute is unknown, and what we should do about it is unknown.
Right.
And this is really a field that has to be looked at more closely. And that's a very scientific answer. That's actually quite correct, and I'm very pleased to see them saying that.
So where do we stand on climate change? You know, they came out this week and they said, well, 2016 was the hottest year on record, but my big question is, what's a normal temperature for the Earth?
Yeah, exactly. And why would it matter if it was 0.07 degrees hotter than last year,
yeah,
which is what it was, 0.07 of a degree. And they even admit, if you go to the NOAA website, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, that's a group that Trump is going to have to rein in because they're very, very activist. They put out headlines on the day of Scott Pruitt's hearing saying it was the hottest year on record. But they didn't tell you that the uncertainty in the measurement is four times as big as the amount by which it broke the record. So, in other words, it's completely immaterial. If it broke it by 0.07 of a degree, it doesn't mean anything if your
right.
uncertainty is 0.28 degrees. So, indeed, they're an activist organization, and Trump should be reeling them in because putting out headlines on the day of Pruitt's, you know, hearing, I mean, that's pretty political.
So, in theory, I mean, it could have actually been cooler than last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. It can be anywhere within that 0.28 degree range. So 0.07, well, it could be minus 0.07 or it could
right.
be minus 0.2. I mean, it could be quite a lot colder. It could be quite, you just really don't know. I mean, it's like getting excited about the moon moving a millimeter closer to the Earth when you can only measure it to plus or minus a half a centimeter.
Right.
I mean, it really is a silly kind of argument. And I mean, who cares? The whole point is that the only thing that really matters is if we are causing dangerous climate change. If we were causing even all of that change that's occurred in the last century, that's a degree and a half, it still wouldn't matter because a degree and a half is trivial over that time frame. So the only thing that really matters, and the one thing they never ask scientists about in polls, is do you think that climate change changes will be dangerous in the future because of our carbon dioxide emissions? And the reason they don't ask the question is because scientists will say, I don't know.
Right, yeah. We have no idea. But I saw something on Reddit the other day. They said a new study came out that said if we keep cutting rainforest and keep deforestation, then the Earth will be without rainforest in 100 years. I was hearing this in high school 30 years ago.
Yeah. Rainforests grow back very
yeah.
fast. I mean, extremely fast. One of our experts, for example, studies the clearing of rainforests, and he points out that, yeah, it's bad practice. I mean, they basically use up the soil as fast as they can, then they just, instead of waiting for the ground to come back, you know, which normally, you know, farmers do in developed countries,
right.
they just go and cut down more forests, and they just keep doing it over and over and over. So, I mean, we've got to work on with them to develop better farming practices. But the forests do grow back very, very quickly. Doesn't mean, though, that, you know, we shouldn't work with them to change their farming.
Right, yeah. But I mean, it's just better farming practices. That'll help everybody all around. So where do we stand right now? I mean, what should we be looking at as far as climate change is concerned? Do we have anything to really worry about?
Well, not at present, but we might in the future. I mean, the kind of changes we've seen in the last century and a half have been very small. And it's interesting that most of the extreme weather events on a statewide basis, if you look at the NOAA website, they're all, you know, the records are all in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting, Charlie, people say, oh, the rate of extreme weather has gone up. Well, actually, it's gone down. You know, the kind of records they keep are things like max temperature, min temperature, biggest hailstone, most rainfall, most snow, things like that. And over a period from 1880 to now, if there was no increase or decrease in extreme weather, you'd expect on average there to be three extreme weather records set every year.
Right.
You know, you might have the biggest hailstone in Kansas or the hottest temperature in New Hampshire. You know, every year you'd expect to see three records set. Well, in 2016, there were no records set. And for the previous 4 years, there was only one record set every year. And so that's way below the statistical average if there was no change. So the actual numbers show that extreme weather is actually going down on a statewide basis. And the thing is, Rex Tillerson said we have to keep a seat at the table in the climate negotiations with the UN.
Mm-hmm.
And at first glance, I thought, no, we don't want to do that because, you know, the UN is focused on trying to stop climate change, which you can't do. But there is some of the work the UN does that is worthwhile, and that is adaptation, helping people adapt to natural climate variability. And that actually is in the treaty, too. So I think we should stay at the table, but we should try to, you know, redirect them to things that make sense. Like, for example, in developing countries, obviously you want them to harden their infrastructure. You know, a good thing that we should do all over the world is burying our cables, electrical cables, underground,
right,
in areas that, you know, where they can be knocked down, and you can have ice storms and stuff in Quebec and down here in Florida, where I am actually right now. You know, we had an incredible windstorm for quite a few days,
mm-hmm,
and the cables are all above ground, you know, and they're all shaking in the wind, and we're on the verge of losing power. Well, no, bury them underground. I mean, Hurricane Sandy, when it hit New York City, there were parts of Manhattan that did not lose its electricity or its internet,
right,
or any of its cables because they were buried underground. So that's the kind of thing the U.S. and the U.N. should focus on, is we don't know what climate's going to do in the future, but let's harden our society. Let's, you know, make our infrastructure more robust so that we don't lose power and, you know, we don't have problems due to flooding because our dikes are in bad shape.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that we should do. But the whole point of the UN's climate mission is to stop climate change. And Tillerson really should be at the table to try to explain to them, look, that doesn't make any sense.
So let's go back a little bit to the 2016 being the hottest year on record. How long have we actually had very accurate thermometers?
Well, really not very long, only the last maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
Before that, they were just mercury thermometers in the 30s, for example, that had a plus or minus 0.5, okay? and it was always debatable as to what time of day the measurements were actually made at and whether that was the hottest or not. So, I mean, the funny thing is, in the early part of the record, it's so uncertain that we don't really know that today's temperatures are higher, because the fact is, in many cases, the temperature difference is less than the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, I mean, most of the world is not covered. I mean, NASA shows on their website that we have 81% of the world covered today with temperature sensing stations. It was a lot less in the past.
Right.
But the thing is, Charlie, they define a region as being covered if there's a temperature sensing station within 1,200 kilometers. I mean, That's the distance from Myrtle Beach to Ottawa.
Yeah, there's a big difference there.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's crazy. We can say in Ottawa, we don't need to, you know, we don't need a temperature sensing station because you have one in Myrtle Beach.
Right.
I mean, so we really don't have good data even in the present. And that should be one of the things that we improve on, is that we should have more and more temperature sensing stations, especially in places like the Arctic. You know, there's a region of the Arctic half the size of Russia that has no temperature sensing stations at all. So when they talk about a global temperature, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, how do we really know? Tom Harris, Executive Director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Interesting stuff, buddy. We appreciate you coming on the show this morning.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon, Tom. Thank you very much. Oh, man. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Let's go to Somerville and talk to Wayne. He's been on hold. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me, buddy?
I can. What's going on, man?
I mean, congratulations on being here for 2 years.
Oh, thank you.
I felt like yourself going to a place where 10, 15,000 people are going to have knives. How can we find you Sunday morning between 10 and 1?
You know what? I'm not real sure. I think our booth is going to be near where the oyster eating competition and the oyster shucking competition is. If we're in the same place we were last year, we're going to be just probably over to the right of the stage. Do you know for sure, John, where we're going to be, or is that pretty accurate?
I think we're going to be next to the 95SX vehicle.
Okay. So just look for the big black 95SX vehicle, and we'll be right next to that.
Yeah.
Our sister station.
I got friends coming down from Charlotte, bought a bunch of tickets. I want to put my eyes on you.
Good.
My second comment is I want to remind people what Nikki Haley, Mark Sanford, the Republicans, Democrats, all of what they were saying during the election period.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to encourage all people to look at this movement, because I think Donald Trump is the first successful third-party candidate to ever be elected as president of the United States. And we have a chance to send a message to the Republican establishment and the Democrat establishment that Americans are tired of this yes and no, black and white, good and bad politics. And look forward to seeing you, and I will have a knife when I meet you.
Well, come on, I'll probably have one, too. All right, thank you, buddy. Wayne, I appreciate it. Yeah, I will be out at the Lowcountry Oyster Festival on Sunday from 10 until 1. Come by and see me. 18 minutes past 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show.
Oh, awkward moment.
On 1250 WTMA.
There's more Charlie James coming up next on WTMA.
1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. You ever lose your digital camera? This is no joke. It was years ago. Went on vacation down to Hilton Head. Got back from vacation. Could not find the digital camera. It was gone. Searched everywhere for it. Everywhere. And at that time, I was leasing a Nissan Pathfinder. And a couple of years went by. I mean, I searched that thing inside and out. Inside and out. So it came up that the lease was coming up for the Pathfinder. And, you know, you got to have it in decent condition when you take it back. So I took it and I had it detailed. And when they brought it back, there was the camera sitting on the seat. So what the heck? So anyway, not a big deal if you and I do it. But if the folks at Roper St. Francis Hospital in Mount Pleasant miss a digital camera, it's a pretty big deal. Apparently one is missing over there that had the photos and identifying information for about 500 babies who were born between November of 2015 and November of 2016. They were stored on the camera's memory card. The information included a photo of each baby, their last names, their birthdays, and their doctor's name. The spokesperson for Roper St. Francis, Andy Lyons, said that hospital staff have searched extensively for the camera, which was kept at a secure location. They're now notifying parents and federal government of the privacy breach. They say as of this time, Roper St. Francis has no indication, evidence, or reason to believe that the information has been improperly accessed, acquired, or misused. The camera was used for security purposes in case the baby went missing. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children recommends the use, the practice, but the privacy breach likely constitutes a violation of the federal HIPAA laws, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, which prohibits hospitals or healthcare providers from disclosing any patient's private information. Well, I don't think they disclosed the private information. They would have, I'm sure if they had their druthers, the digital camera would be back in the secure location exactly where they left it. So I'm not sure if it certainly constitutes a breach, but I thought they had like security cameras and all that. You think you might be able to find that thing? Maybe they will. They're saying they're taking internal corrective actions and giving additional training and education regarding the importance of safeguarding patient information. So there you go. We'll find out if they get that camera back. Maybe somebody just took it home. Just, oh, doggone it. Look what I had in my briefcase. I hate when that happens. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. The 2017 Clemson football schedule is out. And here's how it looks. Saturday, September 2nd, they're going to be playing Kent State. September the 9th, Auburn. They'll be taking on Auburn at home. They'll be at Louisville on September the 16th. I thought Louisville was supposed to be the powerhouse this year. They'll be at Boston College. No, they'll be at home against Boston College. And they're going to be playing South Carolina on Saturday, November the 25th at South Carolina. And they'll be playing the Citadel on November the 18th in Clemson. Trying to see some really good... I wish they'd play them here. Can you imagine that? That would be pretty awesome. All right, let's see if I got time to get Scott in west of the Ashley. Real quick, Scott, what's up?
Hey, that missing camera?
Yeah.
I'd try the Russians.
You're probably right, Scott. The Russians broke into Roper St. Francis and hacked that camera. Oh, those Bolsheviks.
Michael Savage Afternoons. Stimulating talk all day.
WTMA 1250 Charleston.
25 minutes until 10 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Now, there is some discussion out there about the Mexico City rule that they have that Donald Trump has basically banned, and it would say that they're going to reduce funding or take away funding from non-governmental agencies. I didn't even know we funded these agencies that actually promote abortion overseas. Yeah. I was kind of shocked at that, too. And one of the things that Donald Trump has done while he's been in office since Friday afternoon at around noon, I wonder if he was signing things in the limo while he was driving to watch the parade. But he took away the Mexico City policy, which is a ban on, or he enacted it, a ban on federal funds to international groups that perform abortions or lobby to legalize or promote abortions. The policy was instituted in 1984 by President Reagan, but has gone into and out of effect depending on who the party is in the White House. So it's back in place now, bans federal funds to international groups that perform abortions or lobby to legalize or promote abortion. So basically, for the past 8 years, we have been giving money to overseas non-governmental organizations to mount advertising campaigns to promote abortion. We promote it. We cheer it on. We advertise for it. We advocate it worldwide. And some folks are saying, well, the next step is just to defund Planned Parenthood. You know, we give Planned Parenthood $500 million taxpayer dollars every year, half a billion. About 10% of that money, which would be $500,000, all right, about that, and that'd be $5 million, is about 1% of that money. $500,000 goes to the CEO of Planned Parenthood, Cecilia Richards. And she runs around the country saying that Planned Parenthood is a big provider of prenatal care. If you find, where are these women going to go? Where are these women going to go when they need prenatal care? Well, Planned Parenthood is the only place that they can go. I mean, she says this everywhere she goes. Well, there was a pro-life group called, they called and visited 97 Planned Parenthood facilities that are part of all 41 regional Planned Parenthood affiliates across the United States. All right. Now, they made this phone call and recorded them everywhere it was legal to do so. 92 out of the 97 turned away women seeking prenatal care. We'll start it off with Cecilia Richards.
President who will fight for prenatal care.
Prenatal care. And that is what we want to focus on. That is what is so vital.
Thank you for calling Planned Parenthood meeting. How can I assist you today?
Hi, I was hoping to make an appointment for prenatal care.
For what type of service?
Prenatal care, pregnancy care.
We don't have prenatal care here. Planned Parenthood offers abortion, so they don't offer prenatal care.
Okay, just abortions.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, no, we wouldn't provide any type of prenatal services here at Planned Parenthood.
We're not a prenatal care provider. No, Planned Parenthood does prenatal care.
We don't offer prenatal care at Planned Parenthood. We specialize in abortions. You know, that's what our ultrasounds are for, to see how far along the patient is.
So this woman, Cecilia Richards, who is saying that Planned Parenthood provides prenatal care, well, not so much. Not so much. At least 91 out of the 97 said they didn't. And I'm on the Planned Parenthood website right now. And looking. Don't see prenatal care. They offer abortion, birth control, body image. What is that? Oh, that's, you know, if you're chunky, that's okay. General health care. Let's see what they say under general health care. Anemia testing, cholesterol screening, diabetes screening, physical exams, flu vaccines, High blood pressure screening, tetanus, thyroid screening. I know that sounds like parenthood to me. Paul is in Somerville. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Top of the morning, Chick.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to make two separate comments that are related. Number one, this nonsense that anybody ever believed that Planned Parenthood does prenatal care, that's right up there with the same myth that only 3% of what they do is about abortion.
Right.
You know what I say to that? I say, yeah, and 3% of the people who read Playboy and Penthouse magazine are doing it for the article.
Right.
They're not doing it for the naked breasts or anything
that's
like that.
Right. That's right.
That's right. That's a load of bunk.
Yeah.
Second of all, in a related thing, not only should they defund Planned Parenthood, they should defund every one of these corporate bad cats. Any company like Planned Parenthood that's making what, $1 billion a year?
Yeah.
They do not need to be digging their claws into our wallet. None of them. And that goes for ADM, that goes for Intel, Alcoa, all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
This all needs to end. And that's a good place to start is with the likes of them.
I think so, too. Paul, I appreciate you calling in. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Oh, I just got a report. The Dow this morning is now over 20,000. 20,000. That's certainly good news for you folks that are investing in the stock market. And it's all because of Donald Trump and his pro-business climate that he's bringing back to this country. Isn't that refreshing to see? But anyway, back to Planned Parenthood. So they, Cecilia Richards goes all around the country touting Planned Parenthood. Where are these women going to get prenatal care? And you just found out that the vast majority of the clinics that this group called said, we don't offer it. It's a shell game. That's all it is. It's a shell game. And they're taking $500 million taxpayer dollars every year. The CEO, Cecilia Richards, makes $500,000 a year, $500,000 a year. I'd like to know what the other folks, I would like to know how much salary they actually get from Planned Parenthood. I think everybody, and I'm sure there are, I just haven't had the chance to look it up. I'm sure that we can find out every one of their salaries at Planned Parenthood. So I don't think taking $500 million away. And if you are so worried about Planned Parenthood, open up your checkbook. How about that? Why don't you go a little bit above and beyond? Go ahead, write that check. I feel the same way about NPR. These people get a tremendous amount of money from the U.S. government and the taxpayers, which hardly anybody uses it. So if you're so concerned about it, open your checkbooks because they always, you know, they're always got their hand out. Help us, help us, help us. We got to keep these programs on the air. How many PBS shows have you watched this year? How many? I can honestly say I watched Sherlock, and I am now watching Victoria on South Carolina Educational Television. Those are the two I'm watching on Masterpiece Theater. And that's it. And I'll tell you what. If they weren't on Masterpiece Theater, they'd be on Netflix. You'd still have availability to them. All right, it's 9:44 at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com.
It's the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James. Charlie James on WTMA.com and 1250 WTMA.
I saw that President Trump also issued a proclamation declaring his Inauguration Day a National Day of Patriotic Devotion. Yep, that's what he wants to do. What he wants to call Inauguration Day. Yeah, it turns out Trump is trying to give other holidays unique names as well. For instance, President's Day is now Me Month.
Wow,
whole month. Month. Passover is now Comb Over.
Really?
And finally, Tax Day is canceled.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah. So mark that on your calendar. Let's just mark it on your calendar.
Only
make those,
for him, though. Yeah.
Make those changes.
Oh, they cheered for that. The liberal audience there on the Jimmy Fallon show cheered for the no tax day.
Yeah, they don't want to pay taxes any more than us conservatives.
No, not at all. Yay, no taxes. But doggone it, they want everybody else to pay. How do you think, that's the thing. How do they think stuff gets paid for? How do they think all their little liberal policies and social experiments get paid for?
Rich people.
Rich people. That's right. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. When it's been shown that the rich, the top 1%, pay about 47% of all the taxes in this country. How about that? All right. Let's do some good news. This is good news here. Are you ready for this? Hostess has just rolled out brand new, hold on to your seats, Twinkies ice cream. Hell, I saw your eyebrows raise, John Quincy. I saw them raise. They also made flavors based on ding-dongs, snowballs, and those cupcakes that have the cream in the middle and the little white line of frosting on top. Love those things. Oh, I want to get that. Uh-oh. The ice creams are on sale at Dollar General stores. I don't know. I just am. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no.
I'm sure it's okay, but I have a problem buying any food items from the dollar store.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to say it, but I'm saying it. Right. Yeah, I'm the same way.
I like to save a buck, but
right.
I just don't know.
Yeah, check the expiration date. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Just check that out. I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure they're fine,
but just for me personally,
yeah.
Even as good as Twinkie ice cream might be.
Yeah. No, I don't think I want. I don't think I want to do that. I don't think I want to do that. It probably is great, though.
I'm sure it's good.
Though, yeah, they're going to be there starting in May. So good luck tracking those down. Oh, and by the way, speaking of food, McDonald's. Oh, they are going to be giving away 10,000 bottles of special sauce. You know, to all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onions, pickles on a sesame seed bun. That sauce. McDonald's Big Mac special sauce, basically just Thousand Island dressing, sugar, and chemicals, but they are very delicious chemicals. They haven't released the details yet, so you can check McDonald's.com to find out how to get yours, your very own bottle of special sauce. I like that. What they need to do is sell that, and I think they do. I think it's called Yum Yum Sauce. You know, when you go to the Japanese steakhouse? And they got that white sauce. Oh, you want the white sauce? Yes. And, you know, they're making a little bunny out of the shrimp and the volcano out of the onions. I love that. I love the experience. I don't care how cheesy it is. I don't care what you do. You could be cooking my food in a clown suit with a big red nose and big floppy shoes, and I would just be enjoying myself all to pieces. Yes, I want to see you cut that steak up with that incredibly sharp knife. I love that whole experience. I don't care if you come out banging a drum because it's my birthday. I don't care. I love the experience of the Japanese steakhouse. And I love that white sauce. Oh, that is so good. I put it on everything. Just give me extra. In fact, when the chef isn't looking, sometime I'll reach up and grab the container and just help myself. Yes, extra rice. Yes, bring me a loaf of rice. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Yesterday, the Academy Awards were announced, and ladies and gentlemen, I will say it once again.
I don't care. He does not care. I don't care. I don't care. He does not care. I don't care. I'm happy-go-lucky. Women call me plucky. I don't care. I don't care. He does not care. I don't care.
No, don't care. Don't care what one iota. I am not planning on watching the Academy Awards. I do not care who wins the Academy Awards, but I will pass along this information to you. Apparently, La La Land is going to clean up at the Academy Awards. It's got 14 nominations. That ties an all-time record with Titanic back in 1998 and All About Eve in 1951. And now, for the record, the most wins is 11 Oscars, and three movies have done that. Ben-Hur, Lord of the Rings, and Return of the King have done that. Anyway, after La La Land, Arrival and Moonlight tied for second most nominations with 8. And they said they were supposed to have it was supposed to be like 9 nominees for Best Picture. or 11. I think they had 11. There were supposed to be 11 nominees, but they couldn't find 11 decent movies. They produced over a movie a day, over three, I think it was 300 and, well, right at a movie a day, 320-something movies last year out of Hollywood, maybe more than that, a few more than that. But they could not find 11 to fill out all the categories. So, yeah. They are and I know you've gone through Netflix and you've scrolled through some of the movies there and thought, how did that thing get made? How much money did that spend just to go straight to video? If then, a lot of junk out there in Hollywood, but some good stuff. I don't think I've seen any of the movies that are nominated this year, by the way, any of them, because I could really care less. I'd rather sit at home. And the only reason I go to the movie, and just to be totally honest with you, is for the experience of going to the movie. That's it. Because we were at, we saw Rogue One a couple of weeks ago. And of course, the world's biggest Star Wars fan had to sit next to us watching the movie, who had obviously seen it three or four times. And there was constantly, oh, watch this part. Oh, watch this part. Oh, you guys see this. Oh, this is good. Oh, listen to what he says here. And finally, I had to turn around and I'd say, ladies, please, I know you've seen the movie, but please let me watch this for the first time on my own. And that kind of brought back memories of when I saw Return of the Jedi many years ago. And there was a kid who apparently had seen it three or four times and was constantly jumping up in the seat in front of me. Oh, you got to watch this. Ruined the whole thing. So, but I do it. The wife likes to go, but she doesn't like to get popcorn. I like to get the popcorn. Oh, no, I'll take that back. I get the popcorn. She helps me eat the popcorn. See, I'm like, do you want popcorn? No. Well, I'm going to go get some popcorn. And next thing you know, her hand's all in my popcorn. What are you doing that? What's the matter with you? If you want the popcorn, just say, get the popcorn. All right, 5-5. And another thing, I can't pause that movie when I got to go to the bathroom, which is why I really like Netflix. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm drinking my 42-ounce, you know, Diet Coke or whatever, and, you know, got to go to the little boy's room. I can't pause that movie, and I have to come back and say, what'd I miss? Oh, you missed a really good part. No, that's why I like watching them at home. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. We are going to find out more about what Donald Trump is planning on doing today. We are hearing he could be signing some legislation regarding immigration and also possibly building the wall that he promised on the campaign trail. That's going to be interesting to see, because I'm sure all the liberals out there are just going to, their heads are going to collectively just explode when it happens. Yes, that's what you're going to hear. Collectively, one giant nuclear brain explosion when Donald Trump actually signs legislation to start building this wall. So we'll keep you updated on that. Of course, we have a new governor here in South Carolina, Henry McMaster. Finally, governor, as the outgoing governor, Governor Nikki Haley, is off to be the United States Ambassador to the United Nation. So congratulations to her. What a great success story. And somebody posted, Chuck Smith posted on my Facebook page. He said, I would have voted for her for president. Hold on. You just might get your chance. I think she'd be a fine candidate. All right, folks, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, y'all.
Charlie James in the morning. Stimulating talk all day. WTMA.
Justin. A cumulus.